and has for a moment of silence for my Seminole family as we mourn those lost.
Oil didn't even get into the bay, but it shut it down.
And there are a number of interested companies who were interested in buying it.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's top stories, the fallout continues from last week's fatal shooting in Tallahassee. Around 100 Florida State University students marched up the hill from campus to the state capitol today, continuing to tell lawmakers to strengthen gun laws. The one-mile walk ended with a rally asking lawmakers to act in the final weeks of session, as they did 7 years ago after a school shooting at Parkland's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School that killed 17 people. At the time, the legislature and then-Governor Rick Scott approved several changes, including increasing the minimum age for long gun purchases to 21. FSU junior Logan Rubenstein is from Parkland.
The fact that we have to keep doing this and the fact that this keeps happening is a failure on the building behind me and on our country.
At the start of the Senate session today, a moment of silence was held for those killed during last week's shooting. State Senator Corey Simon, who played football at FSU, was overcome with emotion.
And has for a moment of silence for my Seminole family as we mourn those lost and the many lives that have been changed forever.
With just over a week left in the 2025 session, bills that would roll back gun regulations appear to have no chance of passage. However, lawmakers are also not expected to pass any legislation that would strengthen gun control in the state. The Florida Senate has strengthened its proposal to limit drilling in the Apalachicola River Basin. But Tristan Wood reports the two chambers' proposals still have a few differences.
The policy dispute follows loud opposition to a proposed oil drilling project in the Apalachicola Basin. Opponents worry the project could hurt the environment as well as the economy, and a group of North Florida lawmakers is behind a pair of bills to try and add some guardrails to the plan. The House passed a bill that prohibits drilling, exploration, or production of oil, gas, or other petroleum products within 10 miles of a National Estuarine Research Reserve, which includes areas near the Apalachicola Bay, as well as two other locations in Florida. Its sponsor, Port St. Joe Republican Representative Jason Schoaf, says the bill is important due to how his district was hit hard by the 2010 BP oil spill, the effects of which can still be felt today.
Oil didn't even get into the bay, but it shut it down. It shut down our economy. It shut down every form of business. People canceled reservations for a year or two. No one wanted to come near anywhere that could potentially have oil.
Tallahassee Republican Senator Corey Simon took up the House bill on his chamber's floor, but amended it to limit the 10-mile buffer for national reserves only within counties designated as rural areas of opportunity by the state. With that change, Apalachicola falls within that protection, but not the other two reserves in St. Johns County and Collier County. Simon says his region needs protection after the BP oil spill devastated the area's ecosystems.
A few years back when we had the Deepwater Horizon drilling incident, it closed down our bay and it decimated our community. We can't have that again. Our families are trying to struggle their way back currently, and this will go a long way in making sure that Apalachicola can return back to its former self and all that it brings back to the Forgotten Coast.
Simon's change to the bill means it will have to go back to the House for approval. I'm Tristan Wood.
Governor Ron DeSantis continues to defend Hope, Florida, amidst controversy regarding money that was funneled into the charity's foundation. Central Florida Public Media's Danielle Pryor says the charity, which is tied to First Lady Casey DeSantis, is billed as a public-private partnership between the state, faith-based communities, and nonprofits.
House Republicans have been investigating the charity since an associated foundation received a $10 million donation from a state settlement with company Centene over pricey prescription drugs. Critics say that money was meant for the state's flailing Medicaid program. Governor Ron DeSantis says not so.
The agreement they reached with the company was for about $56 million to recoup for this PBM Medicaid thing. It's there. It's documented. And then they got a $10 million private donation on top of that, which is what the agency said from the beginning.
The controversy comes as the governor continues to feud with House leaders over budgets and bills this legislative session. In Orlando, I'm Danielle Pryor.
Finally tonight, new details are coming out surrounding Taylor County's shuttered West Fraser Sawmill. The lumber company, located in Perry, made and shipped wood products across the state and was an economic driver for the town. Now Adrian Andrews reports it's up for sale, and the county thinks it has a potential buyer.
West Fraser permanently closed its doors in March of last year, taking 100 jobs with them. The announcement came after the company said that the cost to make their fiber products was getting a bit too expensive. West Fraser tried to scale back operations a year before by cutting staff and only keeping a small skeleton crew, but they say that didn't work. WFSU spoke with Port St. Joe Republican Representative Jason Shove days after the sawmill closed to get his reaction and discuss potential solutions to help Taylor move forward without his number one job creator.
It's just so unfortunate, and I've spent a lot of time working with, talking with, brainstorming with local officials, state officials, to take this tragedy and turn it into an opportunity.
Taylor County is a part of Shove's district. Even before West Fraser left, Shove and Tallahassee Republican Senator Corey Simon were looking for ways to boost the local economy. The county says nearly 700 jobs and $5.5 million in local tax revenue were lost between the sawmill closing and Georgia-Pacific pulling its paper mill out of Perry in 2023. Add that to the fact that Perry at the time was recovering from a Category 4 hurricane and would go on to face two more storms over the next 13 months. Now the county's Director of Economic Development, Bob Cate, has a plan that he hopes will create local jobs and bring revenue back to the community.
We have several sites, but this will be a premium one because it's going to be nice and clean. He's going to leave the warehouse buildings up, so there's warehousing available.
Cate is hoping a developer who's currently under contract with West Fraser will buy and sell the plant to one of several interested companies that would use the warehouse spaces and land for industrial purposes. He says the sawmill, being within a few miles of major highways and railroads, makes the land a promising investment.
We're working to bring industry in, and this is one of the places we direct them to, but with the rail siding and the highway access, highway frontage and the rail siding going right through the property, it's going to be a well-prepared and well-desired piece of property in Taylor County.
The contract is on the table. However, it's hard to say if anyone will end up buying the West Fraser Mill. It's been on the market for over a year, and there's no guarantee that jobs will come from the sale. It's also worth mentioning that researchers at the University of Florida found that once the paper mill closed, Florida lost over $8 million in tax revenue. This all comes as Corey Simon and Senate President Ben Albritton are prioritizing a bill this session that would boost economic development in rural communities like Perry. That bill passed the full Senate, but in the House, lawmakers are adding pieces to the measure that critics say doesn't exactly benefit rural Florida. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Thanks also to Danielle Pryor. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.